Coverage of Where 2.0 is brought to you by MSN Search, the new, more precise search engine at search.msn.com. That's search.msn.com.
There are some great Chris's in this industry, you know, and the few spring to mind, but there's one who stands out among the rest, someone I've known for years, Chris DeBona. And those of you who just watched the screensavers would know Chris is the Linux guy. He'd always come in and save the day. And he's still doing Linux stuff over at his website at chrisdebona.com.
Well, it's actually EgoFood. Well, just debona.com.
We'll get yeah, or debona.com.
Yeah, it'll redirect you.
Oh, do you have chrisdebona.com, though?
I don't have Chris. I have chris.debona.com.
Uh-oh, I shouldn't have said anything.
No, maybe, it's okay.
Maybe
sure
we should edit this out. Like, someone might register.
Who cares?
Okay.
It's just the internet.
Okay.
Know?
Well, you know, if someone redirects it to some weird Windows fetish site, you know, I don't want to.
Whatever. There's, like, a software analyst by the name of Charles DeBona. And so he does these, like, pro-Microsoft analyst reports sometimes. And I'll get, like, emails from my friends. They're like, dude, what's this all about? And I'm like, that's actually a different person. They're like, oh.
Makes a lot more sense. Well, my my story with that, there's a new show, I think, called Wildfire on ABC Family.
And ABC Family, huh?
Yes.
So you're doing family shows, PAX?
No, not as it were. But the lead character's name is Chris Ferrillo. So when people hear teases on the radio, and tune in next time where Chris Ferrillo breaks out of jail, it causes people to turn around. I haven't actually heard the promos yet. So you're at Google now,
heading up
their open source division.
Well, division's a strong word. It's just a couple of us.
Oh, just a couple of you. Well, I was trying to make you sound better than, you know.
I have no ego to inflate.
Okay, so.
Well, I have an ego, but it doesn't need any more inflating.
Open source department? Is that fair? Open source
so
room?
We sometimes call it the open source programs office.
Okay.
But I'm just the open source programs manager. So,
What is Google doing with open source?
Well, there's a lot of things going on right now. We release developer tools, and these are specifically for building software. It's not like just for integrating with Google or anything. Tools to make better C++ developers, right? In essence. Well, better programs, but you get the point. We try to make sure that when we release API tools that they're released under proper licenses so that anyone can use them and not have to worry about, like, oh, do I need permission and all this stuff. We work with the different groups to make sure that when we release a protocol, like the sitemaps protocol that we released a couple weeks ago, that it's released under a Creative Commons license so that, you know, anyone can feel free to adopt it if they want and work with us or work with themselves, you know, independent of us. And I think that's really important in keeping sort of an open attitude towards protocols and software. We also have a compliance job in making sure that we use open source software properly. And we're doing the Summer of Code, which you may or may not have heard.
Yeah, through Greg at GNOMEDEX.
Yeah, so Greg wants to mention that. That's great. Summer of Code has been really exciting for us.
Well, tell everybody what Summer of Code is.
Well, it's just this wee little program. So so Sergey and Larry at Google, they said that, you know, they think it's always sort of a shame when people who don't have the means to just develop whenever they're bored and instead have to get jobs to do things like pay rent and the rest, you know, so they go
or
and get
rent
jobs,
their chest. Yes.
Or rent their chest,
yes.
Which is an interesting way of paying the bills, but
a nefarious way.
A way.
Yes.
I don't think anyone would pay me. So maybe I'm just jealous.
No,
it's not jealousy. So,
well, that just went off on a tangent. So Nate's got to listen to this before we can upload it, right?
No. He trusts me. We work together very closely.
All right.
Nate is the PR person who I work with at Google.
Yes.
So
fantastic guy, by the way.
He's a good guy. So Summer of Code, anyway. We've allocated $2 million to basically stipend 400 kids, students, not kids. I mean, there's many that are, you know, PhD students, so kids would be like 28-year-old, 29-year-old, 36-year-olds. But... you know, stipending them $4,500 over the next 2.5 months to write some software. And the software, we've paired them up with open source software projects like Apache and Game, the IM client, and a number of others, Python Software Foundation. And basically, those organizations work with the students to introduce them both to open source software development and to help them write some really great code for them. So we're trying this out. We thought it might be a really interesting way of getting more open source software written to keep computer scientists sharp, as it were, over the course of the summer. And, you know, I think it's good for everybody. So we're really excited about it. And, yeah.
Now, are you taking existing open source projects there at Google, or are you actually creating your own internally?
Well, so what happens is engineers will come to us and they'll say, hey, you know, this piece of software, I really want to release it. What do you think? And we go, great. You know, you got the time to do it? And they're like, sure. So we tell them what it takes to clean up the code to release it, you know. And then we put it on SourceForge and we link to it and we tell the world about it and we set up a Google group to talk about it. And
so are you pretty much QA then for anything that goes through Google?
No. So this is another great thing about Google. Google has very, very strong QA, very, very strong QA ethics. So all code gets code reviewed, all code gets tested, you have to have unit tests. And so by the time you get code, it's in pretty great shape.
Even if it is in beta.
Well, so we have this beta reputation. Is that what you're joking about?
Yeah. I'm not joking. I'm being serious.
Well, you know, beta is an important thing. I think that it's okay for us to have standards, you know, and a lot of people are like, oh, just use beta as an excuse.
No one is arguing that point. It's a curiosity that, you know, a company as large as Google mm-hmm. to unleash something and then attach beta to it. If the code is already clean. Is it safe to say there's beta, right?
So there's beta about code.
Wait, I didn't realize inflection was all the difference there.
It's actually all the world is a corner case, right? All the interesting parts are in the edges. But the funny thing about beta is you can have really, really great code, but maybe it doesn't solve the user need well, or maybe it doesn't solve it really well, or maybe it solves a different need and you haven't done it quite right. You know, it's like... what would be a good example of this? Like when we launched Gmail, a lot of people really didn't grok some of the features, and so we had to clean them up a little bit and make them a little different, you know?
Why wouldn't you then release it? I mean, if it's just a label, why wouldn't you release it as a 1.0?
Well, you know, it's just our way.
It's a curiosity.
Yeah, I don't really know how that got started. It just happens. You know,
well, and part of it may even be the mindset.
A lot of people
too.
Never really notice when I launched code.google.com. It's not launched as a beta.
Code what?
Code.google.com. Google Code, which is my site where we release all the software and talk about APIs and stuff. We didn't release it as a beta. We wondered if anyone would notice, and of course, nobody did. And all the software we release there isn't released as beta. Maybe it's of beta quality because it's a library or something, but that label really doesn't apply when you're releasing source code. So.
Okay, now I have to ask you this, and you probably don't know the answer to the question. I don't know if you're even qualified to answer the question.
I can be clueless.
Recently, if you consider in the past year, recently Google has acquired Picasa.
Yeah.
And Picasa is not an open source application. It used to sell for like $30.
Yes.
Fantastic application. So
it's free now.
Why? It's a great move to release it for free. But if it's not open source, and they're making this acquisition,
I don't think it's talking out of turn for me to say what I've heard about Picasa is it's a terrific user experience.
It is. It's fantastic.
And we
it
really
blows
like
everything
that,
away.
You know, and that's something that you hear a lot at Google. Is that a good user experience? I mean, really? You know, and we're like, okay, we'll change that if it's not a good user experience, right? And so we do really, really care about that. And I think that when we see that kind of excellence in a company, I think that's appealing to us. We're a very computer science-y company, and we look for that in companies. But you know, I'm not really on the acquisitions team, but yeah, I think that Picasa, it's just such a great program, you know, that I think that's why it was appealing to us. But I mean, I'm sure there's like press releases and all kinds of interviews about this already out there for people to find, but
I'm also curious, if we're sitting here talking at Ware 2.0 of any web 2.0 applications that are possibly on your radar. So you could use Yahoo's Flickr mm-hmm. as an opportunity.
Terrific, yeah.
You know, if Google has any of that kind of stuff on their radar, either from existing projects or projects on their own. You've got Blogger, but you don't really have something like a technorati.
Image uploading for Blogger. I mean, completely different from Flickr, mind you. But, you know, you get 300 megs of space on Blogger now for image uploading, which a lot of people don't know about. But
can you do? You can interface through Picasa, I believe, to Blogger. There's a gateway.
Yeah, there's a gateway. So they helped us make it so it was just for the web interface.
Seamless.
Yeah, so.
Now, what about taking something like a Picasa, this binary that sits on a lot of people's desktops, uh-huh. arguably or inarguably more than it was when it was just shareware. What about opening that up? So right now I can only interface with Hello, which nobody has installed,
yeah.
or Blogger, which I no longer use.
Right.
Why not open it up and extend it to, like, at this point in time, a Meta Weblog API?
I know this sounds bad for the guy who works on APIs and stuff at Google sometimes, but I really don't know. I haven't talked to the guys in Santa Monica about that.
Different division entirely, I'd assume.
Well, you know, the divisions at Google are pretty... The dividing lines are pretty... There's a lot of movement between things, and it's very organic.
A lot of gray area? Organic? What is this, buzzword bingo?
No.
I'm surprised
no,
you haven't said long tail yet, though. So
well,
I'm
you know, the long tail
is
really important. To, yeah.
I was referring
the
to
long,
your hair.
The long, big tail.
Your long ponytail.
It is kind of long. What is this, gray hair?
You've always had it since I've known you, at
least. Yeah. No, the TV thing was kind of funny.
Speaking of, I know you took inspiration from, it was Ask Chris Perillo, the $27 thing. Have you actually made money from people asking you Linux questions?
To explain this for your listeners, so Chris has this Ask Chris Perillo anything for $25. I was getting so many Linux questions that were like, I'm going to be implementing Oracle on a following Red Hat systems. What do you, can you give me any tips? And And I'm like, you know, if it's someone just asking me, hey, I'm trying to install Linux, what do you think? Yeah, I'm willing to help people out, you know, enthusiasts and people who are just like sort of trying out Linux. But, you know, if I'm acting as your IT helpline, I want $50 for that, right?
Yeah.
So,
totally.
So I put this up. Actually, I don't even think it's up anymore, the little FAQ or anything, because I'm just like, oh, I'm not doing that anymore. But yeah, I got a little tired. I was like, you know, that's the kind of thing I kind of charge $300 an hour for back then. And I'm like, if you really want me to answer your email about this, $50, right? And I thought that it was a deterrent. I didn't
sure.
want the question.
Yeah.
You know? I wanted them to go and find a Linux person near them or somebody on their staff and say, so what do you think about this, Bob? Oh, I don't know, Tom, you know? And so I put up this thing and I got like two people who actually paid me, and then I had to answer their email.
Really?
And so I felt really like almost guilty, you know? And I was
why
like,
would
no,
you feel guilty?
You know,
it's your expertise.
$50, huh?
That's funny.
You know, I was like, well, what's $50 worth of email?
So,
you
so you've actually so, monetized our relationship then.
Well, it's funny that you're taking credit for me replying to an email,
I'm not
you know?
Saying that. I'm not saying that.
Not me.
Well, are you going to be monetizing this podcast, Chris Perillo?
Oh, certainly.
So I mean, there you go. We've paid each other.
So we're even then. We're even. So are you finding anything new here at Wear 2.0, considering that
so
it's a relatively new conference?
So I only got here at like probably 2:30 or 2 o'clock.
Oh, you
so
missed a lot of the
I
cool stuff.
I missed all
stuff.
The cool
stuff.
Well, you know, the enterprise stuff just isn't my bag. I'm sure it's very cool, though, you know.
Yeah, for all the GIS geeks.
I missed the butterfly. I guess the butterfly guy from MSN was walking around.
Yes, he actually did a demo.
So I missed him.
I was glad there was no windshield that
it was
flown into.
Because Microsoft's running their demo of their Earth program, their Earth-like program.
Have you played with it?
I haven't.
Have so not.
I watched the video from Channel 9, uh-huh. right? So I've seen that demoware stuff they showed, and that's great. And we'll see what they launch.
And what do you think about that? I mean, Google's obviously got major branding. I mean, overnight, I stopped using MapPoint, Yahoo Maps,
really?
Everything. Overnight, I went to Google. Overnight.
Well, I really like, you know what I like about Google's Maps? I really like how clean they are. You know, they're not busy. They're just, they're really usable. That's what
they're
I
fast.
Like about them. Yeah, they're fast. You know, and the satellite images are cool, and I really like that. So I think that's what people they liked about it. You know, they said, "Oh, well, you know, this is pretty fun. This is kind of neat." I mean, it's not perfect; it's still in beta. and I don't mean that as a joke.
No,
I mean,
certainly.
Well, the driving directions are provided by the same providers that you know take care of other people.
Provide so. Everybody else
yeah.
directions.
Yeah. So it's like
so. Then you're hoping to release APIs, or I should say, you're releasing APIs in the hopes that people are really going to make official mashups, like a
yeah,
Craigslist crossover.
Yeah, so the
crossover.
Mashups are really cool. Like the Craigslist one, the Bus Monster in Seattle, which I'm sure you've seen.
Yes,
and,
I don't ride the bus, but hey, it's great.
I don't ride the bus. You know, the bus is below me. Public transportation? No.
I'd just be another one that rides the bus.
Dun-dun-dun-dun. Yeah. All right.
So there's a really bad reference, and I'm really scared that I think you got it.
Well, I gave you the first three beats from it.
Yes,
come
okay,
on.
You got it.
Queen is like one of the best bands ever. You know that, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
certainly.
Them, Prodigy, the Beatles. I mean,
oh, yeah. Speaking of mashups,
but so did you read that Jamie Zawinski post about mashups?
No,
where he's like, it seems like mashups are like really clever ideas that sound awful. You know,
yeah. From, so I've learned,
but you know, and that's in music. I mean, the Maps mashups are so cool. So yeah, so we launched Maps. We sort of said to ourselves, Jeremy. You know, I bet you people are going to do stuff with this, and we'll see what happens, right? And the Craigslist thing went up, and we're like, wow, that is so freaking cool, you know? Isn't that the coolest thing you ever saw?
Yeah, but that happened before the APIs were really official.
Well, right, but so the thing is, you know, yeah, those things were counter to the terms of service and all the rest, but we really wanted to release an API. So we made sure that, you know, our mapping partners were cool with this, and we set up the proper contracts with them. Because a lot of people think that these pictures just come out of, you know, the GIS and the USGS, and they simply don't.
Now, were you part of this then? As
No, but I do know the guys.
Okay.
So we worked together for releasing the API and everything. So, you know, it's just a matter of making sure that all the legal things were dotted and crossed, as it were.
So it was awfully convenient that Wear 2.0 was happening right around the same time that it
finally
cleared.
Tim had really good timing with this show. So, yeah, by exposing this API, we're really looking forward to seeing what people do with it. It's a really easy-to-use API, too. It's like two lines just to drop a map in. Like, well, three. You have to put a little scripting tag and then, like, a couple of lines inside another scripting tag, and poof, you've got a map. It's really, really, really easy. And so,
any plans on using that internally? So, say,
oh, I hope people use it internally. Yeah,
for so, like putting it within Blogger or oh, yeah. any other
I don't
type
know.
Of service. That
I don't
you
know.
Have.
I'd have to bring it up.
Just
with
curiosity. That's so. All. I'm speculation.
Sure, speculation's fun. That's why we released the API, right? So that people could go and have fun. It'd be really cool.
But that's know? Largely for developers. Are you doing anything to empower? Power users to get in touch with the developers.
Well, you know, I got
to
tell you, I've always considered HTML scripting within the realm of the power user. So, I mean,
oh, so if, you can HTML you go, script for with the API.
Oh, this is all HTML. It's all JavaScript. Man.
Really?
Yeah. No, this stuff isn't any server-side component. So, if you go to www.google.com/API/maps with a little trailing slash, you'll see
that needs to be fixed.
Just go to Google Maps and type in Google Maps, and you'll find the API. It's not hard. And I'm sure you'll have a link along with this podcast thing. So it's literally like when you sign up and you get a key, it actually gives you like 7 lines of HTML that you can just literally paste into your website and try it out. So you can just verify you've got the key structure set up right. And it's amazing. We've got this great mailing list where people are helping each other out. And yeah, I mean, it's really easy.
Coverage of Ware 2.0 is brought to you by MSN Search, the new, more precise search engine at search.msn.com. That's search.msn.com.